This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. As always, it is presented by Pin Chasers, with three locations in the greater Tampa Bay area to serve you for updates on all their specials and information on group outings, birthday parties, etc. Visit pinchasers.net or just follow them on Facebook. Thanks to Anthony Peroni and Pin Chasers for their continued support of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments as well as the Todd Wright Toddcast. The Todd Wright Toddcast and Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments are also presented by Full Torque Fitness. Daniel Shipman will be present at my event offering complimentary professional stretching, and you can talk to him one-on-one about the individualized training he offers, the small group training that he offers. He asks three very simple questions to golfers in the Tampa Bay area. Do you suffer lower back pain? Do you get tired playing golf? Do you feel your hips are not working properly? If you answer yes to any of those, Daniel might be able to help you. It's called a Titleist Performance Institute screen. He can put you through it, find your limitations, help reduce them, and just offer some really professional advice and instruction. Visit fulltorquefitness.com. Of course, if you play in Todd Wright Tour 22 coming up Saturday at West Chase Golf Club, you can talk to him for yourself while he stretches you out before you play in my tournament. You can also call Daniel at 727-351-5164. Also, I'd like to thank, speaking of supporters of my golf tournaments, I will be giving away a pair of Outback Bowl tickets at Todd Wright Tour 22 this Saturday. It will be Auburn for the fifth time in the game against Minnesota, which will be playing in the Outback Bowl for the first time. Game, of course, January 1 at 1 p.m. in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. For all information and other events associated with the Outback Bowl, go to OutbackBowl.com. I have had a long-standing relationship with President and CEO Jim McVay, as well as Director of Communications and more, Mike Schultze. I thank them for the tickets to the game and the swag that I will be giving away at Todd Wright Tour 22, and I congratulate them on 33 years of the bowl game, formerly the Hall of Fame Bowl, the last 25 as the Outback Bowl. It is the longest standing relationship with a title sponsor in all of the college bowls. And I will be attending the contract signing for the two coaches, PJ Fleck and Gus Malzahn, this Thursday at Raymond James Stadium as one of the VIP events and featured events that the Outback Bowl does annually. Again, my thanks to Jim and Mike for their contributions to Todd Wright Tour 22. They'll be sending one of my golfers to the game with a pair of tickets, and I have some other swag to give away as well. Remember to visit Ticketmaster.com for your tickets to the Outback Bowl and for other events associated with the Outback Bowl in the coming weeks leading up to January 1st between Auburn and Minnesota. Go to OutbackBowl.com. All right. We'll make this a specific college football edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast, basically recording this a few hours after all the bowl matchups were finalized. But I'm going to, now that I've talked about the Outback Bowl matchup a little bit and thanked Jim and Mike for their contribution to Todd Wright Tour 22 with the tickets and swag, and reminding you that tickets are available and their website, and just promote the game as I've always done for Jim and Mike. As I've attended the game in many of their events over the years as a longstanding resident of the Tampa Bay area, we're going to focus on the top four and some other aspects of what happened this year that led up to LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Oklahoma. As I identified very early when the college football playoff standings were first unveiled, I talked about how Oklahoma was the team to watch and perhaps the most deserving, if they won out, of getting that fourth and final spot pending what was going to happen with Alabama. And sure enough, it was Oklahoma, and I think very deservedly so. For most of us that have been following this college football playoff, which is now in year number 6. This year, the way it worked out was pretty simple. It doesn't always work out this way. There's not much of an argument for anyone that didn't get in to get in instead of the 4 that got in. An argument for 6 doesn't seem right. An argument for 8 is just tired, and you can revisit that down the road. It doesn't have any more weight this year than it would any other year. 3 undefeated teams, of course. There's always a twist from the College Football Playoff Committee with the last announcement, and this year it was another one where a team at number 2 moves to number 1, or we have a switch at the top. And then the double zinger to Ohio State and their fans, that will certainly put a chip on their shoulder. Seems like Ryan Day already had a chip on his shoulder after winning the game against Wisconsin, is that Ohio State not only dropped from 1-2 in the final College Football Playoff rankings, which means they face Clemson and they have to travel further to do it. So geographically, it's not desirable, and the opponent not as desirable. But Vegas odds makers, like my longtime friend at the Westgate Superbook in Las Vegas, immediately opening Clemson as a 2.5-point favorite over Ohio State. So there was the double for Ohio State, that Ohio State Buckeyes fans went to bed thrilled that Ohio State looked like the team they thought they were in the second half against Wisconsin. Wake up, find out they're no longer number 1. They no longer have the shorter drive from Ohio down to Atlanta for a semifinal game where they would have played Oklahoma. Instead, it is a trip to the desert and the Fiesta Bowl to play Clemson, the defending national champions. They've won 2 of the last 3 national championships and have an amazingly long win streak. And sorry, Ohio State, the chip on Dabo Swinney's shoulder is bigger than yours. And then Vegas installs Clemson as the 2.5-point favorite. I'll leave to all of you the debate between number 1. And I've watched all the College Football Playoff shows with some really good guys overall. Big fan of Kirk Herbstreit. Was always nice to me in the years I worked at ESPN. We have a common friend in the Bear, Chris Felica, who I regularly text and talk to, not only throughout the college football season, but otherwise. I think David Pollack does a good job. Got no problem with Joey Galloway. He wears it on his sleeve. I don't agree with everything he says, but I like Joey as an analyst. And then, for what it's worth, sometimes I'm not sure if it's an episode of The Bachelor or Rooms to Go At or something on the Food Network, but for Jesse Palmer's work talking college football, I'm fine with it. And I think Reese Davis is also excellent. I'm accepting of LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3. I get why Clemson is 3rd, because simply of the inferiority of the ACC conference. The ACC conference stinks. The good part for the ACC is Clemson doesn't. But the gap is bigger than ever between everyone else in the ACC and Dabo Swinney and that Clemson program. It's not even close. I mean, the Orange Bowl had to take a substitute ACC team, so they're taking Florida to sell tickets for the Orange Bowl game on December 30th. They had to take an ACC team, and in doing so, they take Virginia, and you just saw Virginia in their matchup against Clemson, and how inferior did they look? They're barely a top 25 team. But Clemson stands among the top teams in college football over the last 5 years. It doesn't even matter what they do in the college football playoff. If they lose to Ohio State, they still stand as one of the top 2, programs the last 5 years. Five trips to the playoff, two national titles. That's better than Bama. And that's, well, flat out, that's just a better resume than Alabama, because Alabama didn't make the playoff this year. Oklahoma getting in, beating Baylor twice. Baylor's only losses to Oklahoma. Much more deserving, as I said weeks ago. The Pac-12 seemed to get, WWE term, a push from the College Football Playoff Committee, and that's not right. The Pac-12 was not worthy of that. And to have the College Football Playoff Committee chaired by the athletic director of Oregon was, to me, a conflict of interest. And I understand this recused from the room, but to me, there was still a clear conflict of interest. It was almost like the committee chaired by an AD of a Pac-12 school that was in the mix, that actually played in the first College Football Playoff National Championship game, and the fact that the Pac-12 hadn't had a win in the College Football Playoff since Oregon basically ended the Florida State run. Florida State has been nowhere to be found in College Football Playoff conversation since the Pac-12's only victory in the College Football Playoff, 59-20 over Jameis Winston and Florida State in the Rose Bowl in the national semifinals of the first ever College Football Playoff. That's the last time FSU and the playoff were ever in the same conversation, and that's the last time the Pac-12 won a College Football Playoff game. They went 3 years ago. It was a disaster, putting Washington in as the four seed against Alabama. For those that didn't watch the game and just look at the score, it doesn't tell the story. Washington got the fourth spot and really didn't deserve to be on the same field as Alabama. Never had a chance to win that football game. And the Pac-12, to me, has done nothing since to show that they are on, they have anything on any level of some of these other conferences in the Power Five or Clemson. Now, I will give you that if you take Clemson out of the equation, that a number of Pac-12 programs can compete or might be better than ACC programs, but you just can't remove Clemson from that equation. They are an ACC team, and they continue to win at a very high level, and for what it's worth, they've won two of the last three national championships, so putting them against quality competition outside of their conference, playing for high stakes, they've done very well for themselves. So the Pac-12, to me, which of course markets itself as the Conference of Champions, as I've said about them before, as it relates to college football, they are the conference of inconsequence. And I have questioned, and I'm about to send another knock at the American Athletic Conference. You know, the American Athletic Conference has this hard on that there's a Power Six. And my response to that is, well, there is no Power Six, but until the Pac-12 can actually get its shit together, there's really not a Power Five either. It's basically four conferences, and it's just, it's a top 10, if even that. It's not even really five conferences. It's basically a top 10, and it's a lot of the same schools every year because they know how to win. They know how to recruit. They know how to build while they keep winning. The transfer portal, look how we have three quarterbacks via the transfer portal in the four-team playoff. You have Burrow for LSU. You have Fields for Ohio State. And you have Hurts, albeit with a degree, I believe, from going from Alabama to Oklahoma and getting Oklahoma into the playoff. Ironically, Jalen Hurts in the playoff, Alabama not in the playoff. But yeah, the committee pushing the Pac-12 and propping up Oregon and Utah, and that couldn't have come tumbling down more predictably to me, as I told you weeks ago it would, with Oregon falling flat in front of a national television audience in the desert against Herm Edwards, Arizona State, a team that had lost their previous five games, and then just making Oregon angry enough to play to a high enough level to knock the snot out of an overrated Utah team that, like Washington a few years ago, couldn't have stayed on the same field with either LSU or Ohio State in a Peach Bowl game. So it worked out exactly as I thought it would, with the Pac-12 having no argument at all. And I just think the way the committee handled the top Pac-12 teams is very, very questionable. And I thank Herm Edwards and Arizona State for saving the college football playoff from a huge conflict of interest and a near disaster. And then there's the little American Athletic Conference. And Memphis had to beat Cincinnati in back-to-back weeks, in back-to-back home games, to claim the American title. And Memphis has been a nice program in recent years. So they, not Cincinnati, not Boise, and I'm a little disappointed, not App State. No offense, Memphis. I would rather see App State in a Cotton Bowl game against anybody, because App State has beaten two Power Five schools this year, North Carolina, and a South Carolina team that beat Georgia. Also, App State still riding off that reputation of going into the Big House years ago and defeating Michigan. Congrats to App State. I'm rooting for you next year, because I think you can be sort of the next Boise State. And if the little guys are looking for a little guy to represent them and help push them, I'm sorry, it's not Memphis. It's not anyone from the American. And Boise State kind of had their run, and they were right there again this year. But it's App State getting into a New Year's Six Bowl. So that didn't happen this year. But from the American standpoint, and how they try to promote themselves as the sixth of the Power Six conferences, the truth about the American is all the American conference is a developmental conference for Power Five head coaches. That's a fact. That's all the American conference is. They are not the sixth of the Power Five. They are the developmental conference for future Power Five head coaches. You can go. You can start with Charlie Strong. After 1 year in the American, Charlie Strong left Louisville to go to Texas, and you can weave your way almost one, minimum one per year, that have left American Conference schools and taken jobs in the Power Five. Pick your school. There's probably one of them. USF lost Willie Taggart to a Power Five school. UCF lost Scott Frost to a Power Five school. Temple lost Rule to a Power Five school in Baylor, in case you forgot about that one. Houston lost Tom Herman to a Power Five school. Some of these coaches go on and don't do well. Morris was an example of that, leaving SMU to go to Arkansas. But that's it. That's all the American Conference is. It's a developmental conference for head coaches who leave, Fuente another one, and go to the Power Five. And until that changes, the perception of the American and the push for the little guy to get their chance will not change. That's just reality. Those are just the facts. Look at all the names for yourself. And it's not going to stop. Luke Fickell, I would imagine this time next year, will be gone from the University of Cincinnati and coaching somewhere else, either in the Big Ten or the Big 12. Or maybe the ACC. I think he's the next one. You can fill in other names for yourself. but that's really what the American Conference is. They are not part of the Power Five. They develop head coaches for the Power Five. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Full Torque Fitness. If you are a golfer in the Tampa Bay area and you suffer from lower back pain playing golf, you get tired playing golf, or feel as though your hips are not working properly, Daniel Shipman and Full Torque Fitness can help you. FullTorqueFitness.com. Call Daniel at 727-351-5164. Thanks to Pin Chasers, three locations in the Tampa Bay area. 122 lanes to serve you from morning to late at night, 7 days a week. Follow Pin Chasers on Facebook for updates, specials, and other information, or visit pinchasers.net. And thanks again to the Outback Bowl. They will feature Auburn against Minnesota on January 1st at 1 p.m. at Raymond James Stadium. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. For information on the Outback Bowl and other Outback Bowl events in the Tampa Bay area, visit OutbackBowl.com. Thanks to the Outback Bowl for their contribution of two tickets and swag to Todd Wright Tour 22 this Saturday, sold out golf tournament of mine at West Chase Golf Club. Thank you, Jim McVeigh. Thank you, Mike Schultze. And we'll see you Thursday at Raymond James Stadium with Gus Malzahn and PJ Fleck for the contract signing party. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast. We'll talk to you next time.